ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाया मुदीरयेत् शृण्वतं स्वकथा कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तना हृद्यन्ता सो हि अभद्राणि विधुनोति सुहित सतम नाष्टप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नाष्टिकी। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचलं पङ्गुर्लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातामहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम् हरे कृष्ण टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 6 वर्स 33 एंड द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड पुरुष सूक्त कन्फर्म्ड विल रीड वर्ड फॉर वर्ड फर्स्ट Iti thus te unto you abhihitam explained tata my dear son yatha as idam all these anuprichasi as you have inquired na never anyat Anything else? Bhagavataha, beyond the personality of Godhead. Kinchit, nothing. Bhavyam, to be thought ever. Sat, cause. Asat, effect. Atmakam, in the matter of. Iti te abhihitam tata. Iti te abhihitam tata. Yathedam anuprichasi. Yathedam anuprichasi. Nanyad bhagvata kinchit. Nanyad Bhagavata Kinchin Bhavyam Sad Asadatmakam Iti Te Bihitam Tata Yathedam Anuprichasi Nanyad Bhagavata Kinchin Bhavyam Sad Asadatmakam Christian. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear son, whatever you inquired from me, I have thus explained unto you, and you must know for certain that whatever there is, either as cause or as effect, both in the material and spiritual worlds, is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The complete cosmic situation, both in the material and in the spiritual manifestations, of the energies of the Lord is working and moving first as the cause and then as the effect. But the original cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Effects of the original cause become the causes of other effects. And thus everything, either permanent or temporary, is working as cause and effect. And because the Lord is the primeval cause of all persons and all energies, He is called the cause of all causes, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. The Brahma Samhita 5.1 affirms, we can all say together, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. And in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm sorry. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.8 it says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanditaha. So the original primeval causes, Vigraha, the personal and the impersonal spiritual effulgence Brahma Jyoti, is also an effect of the Supreme Brahman, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, devotees, for giving me this opportunity to speak. It's Veterans Day, so I'm off from school. And I want to thank Sri Gaurangi for encouraging me and believing in me more than I believe in myself. Because as I was preparing for this class, I actually take notes on a Google Doc. And I found that the last class I gave was exactly 1 year ago on Veterans Day last year. So thank you, Sri Gaurangi. So today's verse, it says, start off with my dear son. So little pop quiz. I know most of you come here every day, so you know. Just who's speaking today's verse and to whom?
Brahmaji
is speaking to?
No. His son.
To his son, many, many sons. Sri Narada Muni. Yes, so Brahmaji is speaking to Narada Muni. And actually, I want to say to the online audience that if you have any, please use the chat feature if you have any comments or questions. I really appreciate it. So he says, whatever you've inquired from me, I have thus explained unto you. So for, since this is kind of a concluding verse of whatever questions were asked and Brahmaji has given all the answers, I thought we go back to the questions which were asked by Narada Muni, which were back in chapter 5. And the chapter actually is entitled The Cause of All Causes, which is what today's summary verse is. So in text 2 of chapter 5, 3 and 4, Narada Muni asks many questions, so I'll just go over them. He says, my dear father, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? So as we see, this is not a binary, these are not binary questions. They are actually, one can actually elaborate on them. So there's not closed questions. My dear father, I'm just connecting with what you read, Prabhuji. My dear father, all this is known to you scientifically because whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, or whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe, is within your grip, just like a walnut. So he's like glorifying his father. You know all of these things, so you can give very good answers. And so what? It's a good question because we can give good answers for this. And Brahmaji really appreciates this. My dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? So as I walk through all of the verses, I'll just give a little summary of up to this point in chapter 5. And then chapter 6, Brahmaji is telling Narada about the ingredients of creation. He actually says how these ingredients were there, but I did not know what to do with them. I had to actually get inspiration from the Supreme Lord. Then he talks about the origin of the modes of material nature, about eternal time, about sky, earth, water, fire, air. And he talks about the mind, then the senses, And then how Mahavishnu enters as Hiranyagarbha in verse 35. And then he talks about the Virat Rupa, the three planetary systems, the upper, middle and lower planetary system. And then he says that only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by his inspiration that I, Brahma, create, Lord Shiva destroys, and Lord Vishnu maintains. So, going back to the purport, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned two different verses, very, very key verses in our sampradaya, Ishvara Parama Krishna. So I thought I'll go back to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's translation and commentary. I will just pick on some of parts of the commentary, but as we know that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati writes in a very esoteric way, and as Pushkar Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, that his command of the English language is so astounding that we have to have a dictionary in our one hand to be able to read his commentaries. So what he's translating, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam. In the purport, Krishna is the exalted supreme entity, having his eternal name, eternal form, eternal attribution, and eternal pastimes. The very name Krishna implies his love-attracting designation. And Srila Prabhupada tells us about, like, Krishna means the all-attractive one. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says his love-attracting designation, expressing by eternal nomenclature the acme of entity. I was not sure what acme meant. Does anybody know what acme means? A-C-M-E? The pinnacle, Hare Krishna. You get 100 points. I had to look in the dictionary. Acme. Acme of entity. Yeah, the pinnacle or the most excellent, or like you will say, it's the acme of my life. So it's perfection of my life if something was done. So, acme of entity. So Krishna is the eternal nomenclature, the acme of entity. And this part is so beautiful that if we close our eyes, we can actually see Krishna. His eternal, beautiful, heavenly, blue-tinged body, glowing with the intensity of ever-existing knowledge, has a flute in both his hands. And then he says, as his inconceivable spiritual energy is all-extending, still he maintains his all-charming medium size by his qualifying spiritual instrumentals. I was wondering what instrumentals means. So, but later on in the purport he talks about that it's senses. So by his spiritual senses, he maintains his all-charming medium size. As I was meditating upon this statement, came to me that when Krishna appears and he does his many of these pastimes in which he's killing so many demons, even though he performs so many superhuman tasks, like, you know, he became so heavy for Trinavrata, as heavy as a mountain as described, or his arm became super hot in the Keshi pastime, and then he was so strong even as an infant that for Putana, he actually sucked her life hair out with his lips, and also Sakatasura. So strong that as a little baby infant, he actually kicked such a huge cart. So I was actually listening to a class about Putana's pastime by Amarendra Prabhu, and he was saying that when Krishna does this, you know, sucks the life air out of Putana with his lips, he's telling Mother Yashoda that, you know, Mata, Maya, your milk, breast milk is so potent, it's giving me all the strength, so don't worry, your milk is really good. I'm able to have all this strength to pull life air out of Putana. So the thing is, he maintains his all-charming medium size as a little baby, as a little boy. Whereas, like, you know, if you see in the Vamana Rupa, he becomes very big. At the third step, he becomes very big. Or as Narsingadev, he takes this big form of half man, half lion. Or the Varaha Rupa. So he changes his form, but not in Krishna Leelas. He maintains the charming medium size. Bhaktisiddhanta further says his all-accommodating supreme subjectivity is nicely manifested in his eternal form. And the concentrated all-time presence, uncovered knowledge and inebriating felicity have their beauty in him. Hence it's evident that Krishna is the sole supreme Godhead. So Brahmaji, as he's, when he was answering all these questions, he was coming to this point that Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. And one more thing I'll read from this purport. Bhaktisiddhanta says that this transcendental manifestive icon Krishna in his original face is primordial background of magnitudinal infinite Brahman and of the all-pervasive oversoul. Srila Prabhupada tells, has made us understand that oversoul is supersoul. Krishna is truly visioned in his variegated pastimes, such as owner of transcendental cows, chief of cowherds, consort of milkmaids, ruler of the terrestrial abode Gokula, an object of worship by transcendental residents of Goloka beauties, is Govinda. He is the root cause of all causes, who are the predominating and predominated agents of the universe. This is further elaborated in the other verse, which is quoted by Srila Prabhupada, 10.8, which is Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. So another pop quiz about this verse, other than Pran Govinda Prabhu and maybe Jai Govinda Prabhu. What is this verse famous about? Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate Iti Mata Bhajante Maam Buddha Bhava Samandita. Do we know anything? Of course we know this verse is very important, but it is one of the blank verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, the nutshell, or Chatur Shloki. Yeah, the four verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So it's 8.8 is the first one. I mean, 10.8 is the first one, 9, 10, and 11. So Srila Prabhupada is quoting this verse because in here Krishna says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So all of the devotees who are present here and online, we have around 40 some devotees, you all are actually very, very special spirit souls, because you are understanding that Krishna is the source of all of the material and spiritual world, because you are actually engaging in devotional service and you're worshipping him. We see, I think most of the devotees who I'm seeing here come from Mangal Aarti, are here for the whole program, day after day, week after week, month after month. So the thing is that we need to understand that this wisdom is coming to us from Srila Prabhupada, and then the next thing is that we want to go out and give it to others, because we want to make others as fortunate as Srila Prabhupada has made us. And so I want to just read from this purport, 10.8. A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya, and who knows how to apply these teachings, can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada becomes a little bit heavy in the next part. He says, he can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. And here Srila Prabhupada is quoting from our acharyas, from the other Vedic scriptures, to prove the point. And that's what is very important for us to know. We need to know from shastras, from our predecessor acharyas, how they have explained our philosophy, so that we can become very, very fixed in the philosophy, and we can actually talk to other people, we can convince them, we can defeat them if need be, and or we can walk away if they are being offensive, or if they are being, you know, it's like we don't want to be hearing any offensive diatribes. So in the Atharva Veda, Srila Prabhupada is quoting from a few different, so I'll just quote two of them. In the Atharva Veda, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidati Purvam, Yo Vai Vedam Chagapyati Sma Krishna. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. And then from the Narayana Upanishad, he says, Atha Purushoha Vai Narayano Kamayata Praja Shrujayati. Then the Supreme Personality Narayan desired to create living entities. And continuing from the Narayan Upanishad, I'll read this Sanskrit, it's very nice. Narayanad Brahma Jayate, Narayanad Prajapati Prajayate, Narayanad Indro Jayate, Narayanad Asto Vasavo Jayante, Narayanad Ekadasha Rudra Jayante, Narayanad Dwadasha Aditya. So from Narayan, Brahma is born. From Narayan, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayan, Indra is born. From Narayan, the 8 Vasus are born. And from Narayan, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayan, the 12 Adityas are born. And actually, Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. So here we see the cause and effect. Krishna expands to Narayan. From Narayan, we were getting all of these different personalities. So Krishna is the cause and Krishna is also the effect. And another verse in the Narayan Upanishad says, Brahmanayo Devaki Putra, the son of Devaki, Krishna is the Supreme Personality. And it is said, Eko Vai Narayanan Asin Na Brahma. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no water, no moon, no heaven and earth, no stars in the sky and no sun. In the Maha Upanishad, it is also said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. And that Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. And then Krishna says in the Varaha Puran, because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me, no one is above me. So if we have any doubts, they are taken away by Srila Prabhupada's very, very, His commentary. Srila Prabhupada continues, there is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way, from a bona fide spiritual master, with references from Vedic literature, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. So it behooves us to understand from the Shastric evidence, and of course by dint of our sadhana bhakti and by seva, that we come to this understanding. Because Srila Prabhupada actually, when it says in the Shastra that by dint of our bhakti or our sadhana bhakti process, all of the purports of the Vedas are actually revealed to us. And so if we practice with great sincerity and strictness, strict and sincere, then we will be able to get all those purports and they will be revealed to us in our heart too. And Prabhupada further says, only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations on the Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. So I really, as I was reading this purport, I was really getting myself very much energized by Srila Prabhupada's firm proclamation that we should not deviate at all. We should actually just focus on the commentaries which are given by him and the commentaries which are given by our acharyas. And then we can understand, and then our determination to continue in Krishna consciousness will grow day by day, actually minute by minute, as we take shelter of these commentaries. And brings me to the very famous verse of Bhagavatam, Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna says, so this is in Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 28, that he is the cause, not only of the material world, like you and me, not just the demigods, but he's the source of all incarnations. And as we saw in the previous verses, which was quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, that he is the source of all of the other demigods, the source of all incarnations, and because he's the Supreme Lord, and all others are Amsa. It is Ete Chamsa Kala. So Chamsa means, Amsa means the expansions, and Kala means the expansions of his expansions. And it's described that as many waves are there in the ocean, that many expansions are there of Krishna. And Krishna is but the origin of all of them. So all of those, all of his expansions are doing the work of creation, maintenance and destruction, and Krishna is just enjoying in Goloka Vrindavan. And there was a story that somebody said, oh, I like this God. He must be God because he's dancing. He's just, you know, he's nothing else to do. All of his expansions, we know, all of his expansions are doing all of the different activities. So I wanted to just share a couple more things about something which I had been listening to during the Kartik. One of my vrat was to listen to Canto 4 from Bhaktivedanta Library. I've been listening to the commentary, translation and purports. And so it's, some of the chapters are really long, like chapter 24. And in chapter 24, I actually found a few, two verses which are totally almost mirroring today's verse. So chapter 24 is the song of Lord Shiva, which he recites to the Prachetas. And so Lord Shiva is actually resonating the very same thoughts that Lord Brahma is communicating in today's verse. So this is verse 63, in which he says, so Lord Shiva is actually telling the Prachetas, please, he says, chant these mantras and you will actually become pure devotees. He actually tells them. So he's saying this whole song of Lord Shiva. So in this verse he says, so he's praying to Krishna, my dear Lord, you are the only supreme person, the cause of all causes. Before the creation of this material world, your material energy remains in a dormant condition. When your material energy is agitated, the three qualities, namely goodness, passion and ignorance, act, and as a result, the total material energy becomes manifest. Thus the material world is created. So in this purport actually, Srila Prabhupada actually quotes the same two verses, Ishvara Parama Krishna and Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. So one thing we can really appreciate, how Srila Prabhupada is consistent. There is no like, okay, today he's here, tomorrow he's there. No, he's consistent. Every day, every, whatever the points are, the basis, he has the basis, the very same basis. And we cannot say, like, you know, sometimes people say, we have to have something new. No, something new should come up. Prabhupada wanted us to understand with because he was consistent, because he was following the his previous acharyas, he was able to change the hearts of so many of us because of that being very determined and very consistent. So one point Srila Prabhupada brings up, which I would bring up here, why do learned and expert scholars distinguish between matter and spirit? So why do learned and expert scholars distinguish between matter and spirit? So for the Srila Prabhupada says that for a devotee of the Lord, one who is engaged in his service constantly, eternally, there is no such distinction. Because, you know, we understand that when we are practicing, when we are engaged in devotional service, we are actually living in the spiritual world, because we are, there is no difference. Like Nectar Devotion says, we must live in Vraj. One other thing is that we should live in the holy dham. And but we are chanting, we are worshipping Tulsi, we are worshipping the deities. And actually it's said that if we touch Tulsi's dirt every day and tuck it to our head, it's like we are in the holy dham. So watering Tulsi every day and touching her is very, very important, because her dirt is not different from Vraj dham. So dear devotees, I would strongly recommend, and ever since I heard that, and I always make sure that at least once a day I'm touching Tulsi, because most of us are out of the holy dham. We are far, far away, but our consciousness needs to be there. And by a physical thing, we can actually keep ourselves in that mood. So Srila Prabhupada says the material and spiritual world. So he says, there is only a material world for those who want to imitate the Lord and become enjoyers. Indeed, the material world is nothing but forgetfulness of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of everything. So he says that the material energy is actually created, but the distinction is created by the sleeping energy of the Lord. And for those, those people who want to imitate the Lord. So in this way, he gives them facility for enjoyment. And he gives, Prabhupada gives an example, like, you know, a child wants to imitate the mother for cooking. You know, she's cooking and they want to imitate. So what does the mother do? She gets some toys. You know, nowadays it's a big thing. You have a whole oven, you have all kinds of food, which are plastic, you know, and you give to your child, and the child pretends that, you know, they're having a tea party, and they're cooking, and then they're giving to the parents. So Prabhupada says that the mother supplies those toys to the child so they can imitate her cooking. Similarly, when some of the living entities want to imitate the activities of the Lord, this material cosmic manifestation is created for them by the Lord. And of course, through his material energy. So the next verse, which is very similar to the verse which we are just talking about today, is verse 42. Namasta Ashisham Isha. So this is verse 4, canto 4, chapter 24, verse 42. 4-2, 4-2, 4-2. Namasta Ashisham Isha Manave Karanatmane. Karanatmane. Namo Dharmaya Brihate Krishnaya Kunta Medhase. Purushaya Puranaya Sankhya Yogeshwaraya cha. So Karan Atmane is also means the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam or Karana Atmane. So here he says, my dear Lord, Lord Shiva is saying, my dear Lord, you are the topmost of all bestowers of benedictions, the oldest and supreme enjoyer amongst all enjoyers. You are the master of all the world's metaphysical philosophy, for you are the supreme cause of all causes. Lord Krishna, you are the greatest of all religious principles, the supreme mind, and you have a brain which is never checked by any condition. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my obeisances unto you. And then the Purport Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna, his very personality is the original cause of everything, the root of everything, and the seed of everything. So, and then the words Purushaya Puranaya or Purana Purusha. So Purana, even in Hindi, Purana is very well known. Purana means old. So he's the oldest person, and although he's the oldest of persons, of all persons, he's the youngest of all. Or as we know, Navayovana. So we like, you know, we never see Krishna's depictions as an old man, or, you know, he's bent with a long beard, with a walking stick. We never see that. Of course, in the Christian tradition, I have the understanding that the Lord is with a big, long beard. But we understand from our Vedic literature that Krishna is always a youth. What is he, 16 and a half years old? There's a particular age for Krishna that is always that age.
16.
Okay, 16. Older than 16. So he's in the youthful bloom, and his beauty defeats millions of cupids, and that's the vision we'd like to have. A little boy, so adorable, Bal Gopal, like, you know, when we were saying the Damodar Ashtakam every day, twice a day, during the month of Damodar, that may this vision constantly remain in my mind. May your childhood pastime ever be enacted in my heart. So as we develop love for this youthful boy, Shri Krishna, we simultaneously we also understand that we develop genuine love for all living entities. We don't have to, we don't have to cultivate, oh, how can I become more compassionate? How can I become more loving towards my neighbors or towards my other people I meet? Because as we develop love for Krishna, Pandita Samadarshana, we start seeing everybody with an equal vision. And of course, the story of Mrigarari the hunter is very potent and very important to understand that this one person who was so ruthlessly killing animals, half killing them, but once he took shelter of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, he actually became so compassionate that even an ant, he did not want to kill an ant. So as we develop love for Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically we develop love for all living entities. And that's the universal vision. So we want to take that Samadarshina vision, and actually we find ourselves when we distribute books to people out and about, we talk to them, we show them the picture of the verse, of this verse, Pandita Samadarshana, and people really get very much intrigued that we see the dog eater, the elephant, a very learned person, because the Lord is in their hearts. First of all, that particular thing is very unique to many people. The Lord is in their heart. And that we see everybody with that unique, with that feature, that every living being has the Lord in their heart. And that's the real vision that we can have, equal vision. And sometimes I will tell them, black, white, this country or that country, doesn't matter because everybody has got the Lord in their heart. And it really is very, very powerful to tell someone about like that. So I'll actually appeal to all the devotees. Christmas marathon is coming up. Please take the opportunity to share this very, very unique literature with other people. Please get books, distribute them, join us. We are having book tables all over the place. And of course, we'll have the Christmas marathon. You can take books and give to your friends. So the take-home message for me from this today's verse, which is spoken by Brahmaji, is that we develop our love for Krishna, who is the cause of all causes. And the most potent, of course, we know the most easiest method is take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's prescription, which is also Mahaprabhu's Aushadhi, the medicine. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, so I'll just chant the verse again. If you have any questions or comments, corrections, please share. And the verse is, my dear son, whatever you inquired from me, I have thus explained unto you. And you must know for certain that whatever there is, either as cause or as effect, both in the material and spiritual worlds, is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Sharanga Thakur Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you. Towards the end of your class, you listed three things. I got two of them. Krishna is the root of everything, the seed of everything, but there was one before that.
There was one before that. This was in Prabhupada's purport to... I can look up. Oh, he's the cause of everything.
The cause, oh,
he's the cause of everything, yeah, because he starts out with, he's
sure.
The original cause of everything.
And then another thing I was thinking of, this knowledge is such a vast ocean, so comprehensive. Any detail that we can possibly desire is here for us because of Prabhupada. And I've been reading that book, Beyond Illusion and Doubt, where Prabhupada, talks with, I think, Shyama Sundar about the different philosophers. And he's talking with, they're talking about Aquinas and Augustine, different founding fathers of some of these Western traditions. And because they don't have the complete details, you know, of creation or of God, of the Lord, they have to fill in the blanks with speculation. And for instance, one of their beliefs was that God created the earth out of nothing, or the universe out of nothing, and of course Prabhupada objected to that. And then another one was that the Lord is called Lord because he created us here in this in the earth, and so now he has servants. Otherwise, before that, he was probably alone.
Hare Krishna.
He was alone doing what?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Yeah, actually, we have, I teach civics, as my other avatar. So in that, the founding fathers, we talk about one of them, that they were influenced by the thinkers called the Enlightenment thinkers from the 1600s. And one of them was John Locke, I think. And they said, we have a social contract. So they talk about, you know, the social contract with the people. The government has a social contract. They do bring in God. They do bring in God, but we're mostly talking about the contract we have with the people and with the governing people. Yes, Siddhidhi Muni Prabhu.
Yeah, I mean, they were striving. I mean, they didn't have Bhagavad Gita as it is, you know. So they did what they could. But like Augustine, you know, they get these problems in paradise. There, no question. But Augustine and you mentioned the other fellow. They're Christian founding fathers. And, you know, they're dealing with issues that we're not engaged with their reference points as well. I mean, they were pushing back against Greek ideas and so on and so forth, and there's a whole long thing, convoluted, you could tease it all out. I mean, these guys were sophisticated thinkers. They weren't just like, I got three sound bites and let's just drive the train through. You know, there was quite a lot going on there with these guys. But one thing, when they're saying ex nihilo, I mean, they're kind of reacting to this Greek idea that the material world's eternal and then God's like just this like Lord Brahma caretaker, a demiurge. So they're saying, you know, if God's omnipotent, he can do anything. He can create from from our perception, nothing, or the Greek perception that the material world is real and then God just manages it. So there was a lot going on there. Prabhupada, you know, so that nothing is nothing in the material sense. I mean, spiritual energy, if you're a materialist, doesn't exist. You know, it's beyond your perception. So there's a lot of angles there. I'm not endorsing that, but, you know, their argument is God can do anything, so what's the problem? But Prabhupada's arguing against this sort of atheistic idea that material energy is created from nothing, it's just a dream, and we can do anything we want with it. So there's a bit of a different context, I think, when Prabhupada was arguing, you know, against the... But it's an interesting point. It's a relevant point to tease out.
I remember Prabhupada's dialogue with Hayabriva Prabhu when he was referring to Aristotle and Plato's view about the spirit and matter. And Hayabriva Prabhu, I don't know where he got that information from, but he says, Plato says the spirit and matter coexist, but spirit can exist without matter. Prabhupada said, that's Vaishnavism. That's our philosophy. But then Aristotle said, spirit is always visible with the matter. Prabhupada said, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
So, but then Dhruta Karma Prabhu, who researched this, is one of Ishtan Guru. He said, unfortunately, Catholic society actually accepted that and they embraced it.
Mm.
That's unfortunate, really unfortunate.
Hare Krishna. Trivikram Prabhu, you had a comment?
Actually, Greek philosophy is just watered down Vedic philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's watered down Vedic. There used to be Vedic culture all over the world.
That's true.
And then the point on God could do anything. Let there be light, and there's light, and let there be, you know, God could do anything. But the scientists don't want to accept that. What I was going to ask, it stated that Narayan produces the Adityas, well, some adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear Aditi brought forth the Adityas. So how would you clarify that?
This is his day of the Prabhu. But original Adityas are from Narayana.
Oh, the original Adityas.
Original, so Prangovinda Prabhu is saying that the original Adityas are from Narayana.
Narayana.
And in this day of Brahma, the Adityas came forth from Mother Aditi. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
You know, you read the Ishvara Parama Krishna of the Parkour. It says medium size.
Yes.
What is that medium size? One explanation I heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Sutagur.
Hmm.
He said, Krishna will appear according to your size.
Hmm.
That's a medium size. Because he's anor aniyam mahato mahiyan, he's bigger than biggest, smaller than smallest. So how do you reconcile that? What about my relationship with bigger than biggest or smaller? No, according to your relationship, he will appear. So not to worry, that is called medium size.
Very nice. By his qualifying spiritual instrumentals, by his spiritual senses, Krishna can... Well, that, thank you for clearing that. Gadagraj Prabhu?
Yeah, but Prabhupada said that one king of India had two sons, and he gave one son Greek and one son Rome. Yeah. So they all the influences there also. No, I don't know the source, I'm sorry, but I know I read it, it's absolutely true.
Okay.
I read it.
Okay, thank you. Mother Ragatmika?
No, the source.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yes, you speak of Hare Krishna, developing love for Krishna. It just seems like such a far away goal to attain. Whereas, like even Srila Prabhupada said, you'll show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other. So we can't fool ourselves that we have love for Krishna if our interactions with fellow Vaishnavas and caring for them is not there. I just wanted to bring up that balance. I know, like Archana, Bhajan, these awaken our devotion for Krishna, our love for Krishna as well. But we can't neglect right in our face the devotees that are present with us and how to express our love for Krishna by serving them.
Definitely. Yes, would you like me to say something about it? Comment? Yeah, actually, you know, developing love for Krishna is not something that we'll say, now I have to develop love for Krishna. I chanted for 25 years, now I'm going to start developing love for Krishna. Because love for Krishna, it's a thing which is from what we are doing in our service, in our devotional service, in our day-to-day affairs, will develop love for Krishna. Because this is developing. It's not that one day it is there, stamp, you are not. One day stamp, you are in. That is not what is love for Krishna, because it's a process. So the process of developing love for Krishna, as we know, the sadhu sangha comes way up there in the process of developing love for Krishna. Your bhajan kriya, you first of all have shraddha, you have got the sadhu sangha comes right there. So when we say sadhu sangha, it doesn't mean we're sitting in the same room and we're watching television. That is not sadhu sangha. Or we are just sitting together and we are all upset with each other. That is not sadhu sangha either. We are coming together, we are listening, we are doing kirtan, we are associating, we are working together for propagating Krishna consciousness, for maintaining this beautiful temple, maintaining the service. So all of those together will constitute the process of Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada says, first become conscious, then you become Krishna conscious. So we become conscious of each other, all of our devotees, all of the Gurujans, all of the seniors, all of the juniors, all of the newcomers. In fact, I was just listening to a class yesterday in which one devotee was saying that Srila, and this is, I mean, some of Prabhupada disciples might know this story. Where was this? Was it in Canada? I'm not sure. Germany. That this one person was came to the temple, and he was very moochy. He was very dirty. He was like a homeless man. He was maybe not bathed for months or who knows how long, drug addict. And his clothes were smelling. He was passing stool and urine in his clothes. So he was very, very smelly and dirty. And he came to the temple and the devotees like, ooh, we have to go out of here. This is way too bad. So they kind of kicked him out. The next day he shows up again. And that day Srila Prabhupada had just come to the temple in Germany. Anybody knows this story? No. So good. I'm telling for the first time because I just heard yesterday. So then Srila Prabhupada heard this commotion. They were trying to get him off. Hey, Srila Prabhupada is here, we should have him out. Prabhupada says, what's going on? And they said, oh, Prabhupada, he's this and that. Prabhupada says, why are you kicking him out? Bring him in. Srila Prabhupada actually hugged that person. And he touched his head, something about putting his head near his neck or something like that. And that person became so taken by that love of Srila Prabhupada that he actually became an initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada and was practicing Krishna consciousness. So, they didn't tell, so I couldn't tell you. I was also hoping I would know. But the point is that our love. So Srila Prabhupada is actually by, you know, each one of us. I mean, we who came to Krishna consciousness, I came to Krishna consciousness 20 years after Srila Prabhupada, well, at least maybe 12 years after Srila Prabhupada had already left the planet. And I feel, every day I feel Srila Prabhupada's presence in my life. So, his disciples, his grand disciples, his great grand disciples, we are all can feel that love, and we can actually take great satisfaction and comfort in the fact that Srila Prabhupada loves us so much, that, and we need to expand that love to all of those who we meet, all of those who we are currently in touch with, and all of those who I'm going to meet. And when we develop that mood, then there will be many negatives. Of course, it's a material world. There will be negatives all the time. There's more negatives than positives. But our success is if we look at those little positives and take that as one positive step ahead. And that's, at least in my case, that's how I'm taking one moment at a time and counting my blessings. So I hope that this gives you some encouragement that, you know, we can just take it slowly. Thank you.
Very good.
Hare Krishna. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Lokamanandi. Hare Krishna.